Run DNA has an extensive range of running and walking footwear. Trusted by podiatrists and physiotherapists, the Run DNA fitter's advice is second to none. Pop into Run DNA, 20 Manton Street, Hindmarsh, or 391 Fullerton Road, Fullerton. They're open 7 days with plenty of off-street parking. If you walk or run, you need to Run DNA.
Thursday, the 31st of July. Welcome to Hooked on Sport. As we recount the showdown, who better to take us through it but our two Crows supporters, Sophie Hilditch and Ben Hook.
We're the pride of South Australia. Good night, wasn't it, Soph? Hey?
Oh, an absolute excellent night. A 98-point win over our favourite side, Port Adelaide.
Brave the weather as well. It was horrific. I mean, I was undercover. I was actually indoors, if I'd be perfectly honest with you, Soph. Wandering around in a polo for a while, I was. That's the conditions I had in front of me. I haven't seen Adelaide that determined to strike a blow against their opposition for a while. And the opposition, obviously, Port Adelaide. That's the one thing I really took out of the game. They were determined to embarrass their opponents, and they did so very successfully.
Completely. I mean, after that first quarter, didn't they just run away with it? Their defence was so strong. Their attack was even stronger. It was just unbelievable to watch, if I'm completely honest.
Go on. Can they win the flag? Sophie Hilditch?
Oh, look, I reckon they're quickly becoming some favourites, but I mean, look, they've got to face Collingwood and Geelong, and obviously Brisbane's there too, and facing a Melbourne team at home is always pretty tough, but I mean, they have all the facets. They have all the facets of making a premiership team, Ben, but I don't want to jump there so soon. We've still got a long lot of footy to go.
I think it is difficult to get your head around a side that finished 15th last year. And do you remember the Crows fans were marching on West Lakes? They wanted Justin Reid's head on a pike, Matthew Nix out. It was all sorts of angst. And the fact that inside 12 months, the club has gone from this side that everyone thought it was, you know, throw the chess pieces in the air and let's start the whole game again, to, yeah, these guys are, they were top of the table for a period of time on the weekend. Now they're back to second, but top two have two games at home at Adelaide Oval before you've got to go for a grand final. You're in the box seat.
100%. Well, you're dead right, Ben. I reckon last year we were talking about how many years it was going to have to be to rebuild this team. And look at us, top of the ladder halfway through this weekend. Incredible stuff, really.
What did you make of Port Adelaide?
Bit tough to watch. That one, yeah, look, Ken Hinckley, that was tough. That was tough scenes. I'm not going to lie, Ben, I had to walk out halfway through the fourth quarter. It was just too much grim to see out there.
Oh, you tell you what, Soph, I was happy to hang around and enjoy the spoils.
Well, you were indoors, Ben, as well. That probably helped.
It is tough for Port Adelaide. This is all of their own hand, Soph. I mean, they made a decision to change coaches probably before it was necessary. I was always of the opinion you either went one way or the other. You either move Ken on at the end of last year, that would have been very, very difficult having made it all the way through to a preliminary final, or you stick with him this year and just see where you end up. And if you made the decision at the end of this year, that would have been reasonable as well. But to make the decision at the start of the year that it's going to happen at the end of the year, that just struck me as a bit of a cop-out, trying to please everyone. There's the pro-Hinckley crowd that they wanted to try and please, and the anti-Hinckley pro-car crowd that they were trying to please as a fan base as well. And it's been a bit of a dog's breakfast as a result. And now they're so far behind the eight ball because they got in Jack Lekosius. They don't have a first-round draft pick at the end of this year. So you finish 15th. That draft pick's going to Gold Coast, who are going to pick up what? It's going to be about 5, 6, 7 or something like that, you'd think, with Port Adelaide. Gold Coast are only going to get better. And then they're going to have to try and work out if they can land Nasiah Wanganeen-Malira. They're going to have to do that with their first-round picks in 26 and 27. If they got Wanganeen-Malira in, that would be amazing. But, gee, at what cost? And you just worry about where they're at off-field as well. We might talk about that a little bit later on. But, yeah, you've got to say that Port Adelaide have shot themselves in the foot like no other AFL club has done maybe in the last 15 years.
Exactly.
Tell you what, Soph, a couple of amazing comebacks over the course of the weekend. Start with the St Kilda-Melbourne game. I want to touch on it because of Nasiah Wanganeen-Malira, who, of course, is a Glenelg boy, has gone on to be drafted by St Kilda and looks like the next big superstar of AFL footy. The other one that really stands out to me over the course of the weekend was the Super Netball preliminary final. The Melbourne Vixens overcame the New South Wales Swifts. They were down by 10 at three-quarter time and somehow find a way to go 25-14 in the final term and win it. I've got one in my mind that I'm embarrassed to admit that I was on the receiving end of. Have you ever been involved in a sporting event like that where there's just been an incredible turnaround, a remarkable comeback?
Not really, if I'm being honest. Nothing to this extent. I mean, the most I can think of is I've actually personally had a pennant game where I was five down with seven to play, and I actually went on winner on the 18th hole with a sneaky little birdie. So can I put it in the same bracket as this? Absolutely not. But look, I have played in a couple of matches where there has been a lot of pressure on the line, and that actually came down to my match as one of the few that I might have won and actually got over the line for the team.
That's legit, so don't worry. What were you? Did you say you were five down with seven to play and won it on 18?
Yeah, five down, seven to play. My opponent on her approach shot actually knocked it to about 10 foot on 18. I was all squared going down 18.
Yep.
She knocked it to about 10 foot, and I just sneaked it on inside her to about 5 foot and got the line from her as well, and it was actually perfect. Not that I was looking at the line at all, you know.
Can I tell you one that is completely on the other side of the fence? I was playing in a grand final for Adelaide against Tea Tree Gully in the mid-90s. So this is first grade premier cricket here in South Australia. We bowled them out for 155 and didn't bat real well. But at tee on day two, we were six for 150. So six to win, four wickets in hand. Things are going to be pretty comfortable. In fact, the Tea Tree Gully players were saying, let's not bother with tea. They've only got six runs to get. Let's get it over with. Umpire said, no, law of cricket. We take tea. So we went off, took tea. All of the champagne was coming into our rooms that was on ice and all the big celebratory drinks. We went out after tea and lost four for four and lost by a run.
Oofed. Not so fun on the other side, I don't imagine.
Yeah, so that was commiseratory champagne after all of that. That was pretty brutal. Yeah, I still can't believe I'm bringing that up. That was 29 years ago now, and I'm still a little bit damaged by it. Soph, got a challenge for you here. I had a think about how we can get a little bit more of your freestyling opinion out of you, because it's been so wonderful in the first 2 weeks. I came up with, I really thought long and hard about this. I came up with a concept called Sophie's Choice. Don't know how I came up with it. Hey, but all I want you to do is just list for me who is the athlete, and why, of course, from South Australia that's gained your admiration this week, that's really caught your attention, someone you think that's stood out above the crowd.
Yeah, this is actually a pretty tough task you've given me here, Ben. There was a lot of standout South Australians this week, I have to say, but I've actually gone with Kyle Chalmers, the 26-year-old sprinter in the pool. I don't know if our listeners have heard, but the World Championship was actually in Singapore recently, and Kyle Chalmers, I think, is coming down as one of the greatest anchors of all times in the 4x100-meter freestyle relay. He was chasing both Italy and US, and he actually ended up swimming the fastest lap in the race at 46.53 seconds. And that's just absolutely incredible. He went on to win the gold medal for Australia. And I've got to say, Ben, it was just incredible performance. We know Kyle Chalmers has suffered a lot of physical injuries. He's had back pain, ankle pain, a couple of shoulder surgeries, some heart surgeries as well. But he's managed to get himself back in the pool, and I really think he is going to go down as one of the greatest anchors of all time.
Incredible Olympic record too, Soph. So a gold medal at Rio in 2016, where he was seventh on the turn and swam the most incredible second 50.
Only 18 years of age as well.
Yeah, 2021 and 2024, silver medals, got absolutely bloused on the touch in 2021 at Tokyo, and then 2024. And Wallace and I, we've talked about this before, but I mean, there's going to be question marks forever over the legality of the Chinese swimmer who knocked him off at the Paris Games. And I just, whatever the outcome of all of that, I think we understand that there are a lot of people who have some angst about that, but it shouldn't necessarily throw any shade over what Kyle's been able to achieve. And it's a really wonderful example of someone who's doing incredible things for South Australia. Three Olympic Games, three medals, and going to head almost certainly to a fourth unless injury culls him down, but certainly 2 years out and a bit, I guess, from the next Games. he is travelling as well as anyone.
Well, I've got an idea actually here, Hooky. I've just done Sophie's Choice. How about we go with Ben's Best?
Well, let's do it. There is one that stands out in my mind this week, and that's a kid called Elizabeth McMillan. Elizabeth McMillan is a race walker from Sydney who was moved to South Australia to train with Jared Talent, of course, an Olympic gold medalist from London in 2012. Anyway, she's won the World University Games 20-kilometre walk, which is pretty incredible for a young kid, 21 years of age. So I'm just really excited to see how she develops. Yes, she started from Sydney, but she's moved here. We are claiming her as our own. Dinky Dye, Piping Strike, South Australian Soph. So Elizabeth McMillan, one to keep an eye on as well, that I'm very excited to see for the future.
Yeah, that's great, Ben. And I don't know if you actually know this, but she's been really open about talking about her challenges with endometriosis a lot and how it impacts her training and actually her competing as well. I reckon it's a really good point. It's a good point for our girls out there. It's obviously something that's really come to light in the medical world at the moment, and it's an interesting topic of conversation and probably something our listeners can look up and actually hear her talk about it herself.
What on, Soph? Had no idea about that. Great point. And yes, for the blokes like me who don't understand those extra challenges around women's health, it's a good point you make. Hey, what do you reckon? Do you want to get into a little bit of Fair or Fuss?
Yeah, let's do it, Ben.
I might take the new ball and see if I can deliver a few of these at you. Sophie, playing the SANFL Grand Final, SANFLW Grand Final, I beg your pardon, at Glenelg Oval in July is disrespectful. Fair or Fuss?
Ben, oh, sorry, Ben, cut you off there, but I've gone fair. Look, South Adelaide Panthers won their fourth premiership with a comfortable win over Woodville West Torrens at the Glenelg Stadium. They did manage to get 2,831 people out to their stadium, which is a pretty good showing. But look, playing it in July and actually at the same time as St Kilda Melbourne, I think it's completely disrespectful. The women's game is just continuing to grow. There were some really big young standouts in that match. I've got to shout out Emma Charlton, only 17 years of age. She took command of that centre, particularly in the second term of the game. And she really controlled it, controlled the tempo, and I think actually led them to a win. And I can't, you know, we've got to look at the Eagles team as well. They have some key players at the age of 18 and 19, and I think maybe potentially a bit detrimental into this game. They were inexperienced and they've got a lot to learn. But, I mean, these are going to be our future players in the AFLW, and I think we need to get the crowds out there. We need to get people interested in this game, and we can't have them competing against the AFL, and we definitely can't have them down at Glenelg. We need them at the Adelaide Oval. I mean, the SANFL is played at Adelaide Oval, played at a more reasonable time. Why can't we get the girls there? Why can't we start respecting their game and respecting where they're going?
2,800 people, Soph. There'll be 30,000 at the SANFL Men's Grand Final. I think that stands to reason that it deserves to be at Glenelg, doesn't it? Until you can get 10 grand plus, stay on the suburban ground.
No, you've got to. I'm sorry, Ben. You have to start giving them these opportunities. The women's game is growing. I know it's got a long way to go still, but I mean, if we don't get people out supporting them and we don't get it known to the people, how are they ever going to improve? How are they ever going to get the funding to be able to improve if they're not on the big stage?
I've got to be honest with you, Soph. I think you're right. The Men will actually play 8 league games there over the course of the season. So the Crows and Port Adelaide will play SANFL level 2, and then there'll be 6 finals there. The under-18 grand final will be played at Adelaide Oval for the men. The reserves grand final will be played there. So I think, yeah, I agree. It's a difficult time of the year, and the season does finish a bit early, and that does. There is problems at the start of the year as well. I was having a look at this today. I mean, a lot of the teams, like I think it was Glenelg, didn't play a home game until round 5 because it's a cricket ground for much of the first half of, well, for the first third of the SANFL season. So I think your point's well made. It would be good. I think it is difficult to make that transition because Adelaide Oval, it's expensive to open. So I can understand the challenges. But, yeah, I would love to see the SANFLW Grand Final played there at least. I think that's a pretty reasonable point. Go on, fire one at me.
Yep, Hooky, there's nothing more hypocritical than the England's cricket team. Fair or fast?
Oh, this is so fair. And it's so beautifully fair, Soph. Is there anything more delightful than English cricketers who are whining about something when things haven't gone according to plan? I've got to say, and for people who didn't see what happened in the fourth test against India on the weekend, India basically batted for five sessions and only lost four wickets. So this is the fourth test at Old Trafford. And with an hour to go, you are allowed to shake hands and say, yep, we're both teams have had enough. Let's go and walk off and have a drink together and chat about the day's play. Of course, with an hour to go, India had only lost four wickets. And Washington Sundar and Ravindra Jadeja were both very, very close to 100. And it was England captain Ben Stokes who demonstratively walked up to Ravindra Jadeja, putting his hand out, wanting to shake hands and say, let's walk off the ground. And of course, the two batters out there were not interested in that. They wanted to bring up their 100. So, of course, the English players, absolutely every toy went out of the cot. I've never seen bigger dropped bottom lips in my entire life. And I get it. I mean, I've been on the receiving end when I've been out there in the field and you've been there for 6 or 7 hours. And the last thing you want to do when you can't win or when you can't get people out is continue on beyond when the minimum amount of time has elapsed. But it was absolutely within India's rights to keep batting. And I was surprised that they didn't just leave them out there for the rest of the day's play. So, yeah, this is absolutely fair, 100%. England are hypocrites. Let's just talk about the fact that they have been through so many different machinations of their own culture in the last 5 years since Bazball had come in. They want to be nice guys. They've brought in Gilbert Anoka, who's renowned as running the All Blacks and has what's called the no dickheads policy. Suddenly they all want to be dickheads. They want to play because it's just solely for entertainment. Win or lose, it doesn't really matter. But here they are, when one of the most entertaining moments for Indian fans was going on, they wanted to call the game off. So they do have a bit of a culture issue at the moment, English cricket. And as much as I think they're extremely talented and they're wonderful to watch, I just reckon that might be the difference between them getting over the line in the Ashes and not. Just that they never really have found what they're going to stand for. They keep standing for different things every time they turn up on the field. And I just reckon that is overall a negative at that elite Formula One level of sport. So, forget Grace Kim. Lottie Wode will be the star attraction of the Women's Australian Open at Cooyonga in March. Fair or fast?
Fast. 100% fast. The star attraction? Oh, my God, Hooky. I think there's going to be multiple star attractions. I don't think you can name just one. I mean, look at Australia's own Minjee Lee. She's just come off winning the KPMG Women's PGA this year. She's a three-time major winner. I can't wait to see her. Going to be a star attraction. Looking at not just being one of Australia's best female golfers, but one of the world's best golfers, I reckon. Grace, obviously, in the recent Scottish Open, missed the cut, coming off an outstanding performance like we spoke about in the first episode that I joined you. But, I mean, obviously, Lottie Wode is incredible. She's an English golfer. She has just turned professional and won her first professional event at the Scottish Open with a two-shot lead. She held that two-shot lead coming into the fourth day. And that's obviously incredible. She was beating the likes of one of the world's best, Nelly Korda, and the composure to be able to do that. I want to turn your attention to Rose Zhang, who, when she first became professional, actually won her first professional event. Now, she was world ranked number 14 in 2024. She's actually suddenly dropped to 48 in the world rankings and is, quite frankly, struggling with her game. I obviously know Lottie Wode and what she's done is quite remarkable, but there's a lot of outstanding golfers out there, and I don't think we can just completely jump to the conclusion that she's going to be the star attraction. The Open is coming up, and I think it's going to be an interesting one to look out for. And I think maybe that might determine what our star attraction will be, but I don't think she's kicked Grace Kim out of her star running sheet at the moment for Cooyonga.
I'm time coding this one, Wallace, 31st of July, Thursday, and Sophie has dissed Lottie Wode, who has gone as an amateur, win the Irish Open, top five at the Amundi Evian Championship in France, and then moved on and won the Scottish Open. This is a one-in-a-generation kid, and I reckon she can win at fourth call this week in the AIG Women's Open. And I reckon she does turn up here in Australia as probably the top five player in the world, and I reckon she might start favourite at the Women's Open. That's how good she is. She is so exciting, Soph, and I cannot believe that you have just flipped her to one side in favour of Grace Kim and all these others who missed the cut at the Scottish Open.
I'm sorry, Ben. I can't just jump there. Look, it's one professional win, Ben. I think it's only one under a belt. There's many others with a lot of other things under their belt, and they're going to be coming to that Aussie Open.
Most deadly player I've seen with a wedge, young Lottie Woad. So she's going to be very, very exciting. Looking forward to seeing her tonight on television when she's just working her way around Porthcawl. And no doubt she'll be. I'll tell you what, we might have a little chat again tomorrow morning and just see where she's at on the leaderboard. I reckon that might be well worth a revisit.
She's probably going to go out there and completely prove me wrong. And I'm looking forward to it, Ben, if she does.
Give me one more of your fair or fast specials.
David Koch should follow Ken Hinckley out the door at Port Adelaide, fair or farce?
Farce, Soph. A little bit disrespectful too for you to come up with something like that against a guy like David Koch, who's done a lot of good for the Port Adelaide Football Club. Yes, this year has been a disaster, and as I said at the top of the show, it's been at their own hand. But Ken moving on had to happen at some point. And I think we need to accept that from where Port Adelaide Football Club was in 2012 to where they are now, is in a large part due to David Koch's leadership. They were talking about shutting the doors of the Port Adelaide Football Club at AFL level when he took over. Nothing should last forever. I just really feel like he deserves more time in the role. I do believe he has some board issues. The Warren Treadray situation, that really needs to be sorted out. And Wallace and I have talked about that a couple of weeks ago. He is a problem for them at the moment. And I just think it does deharmonise and destabilises the club. It's a board member that he explicitly did not want as well. David Koch, by and large, has done an excellent job with the Port Adelaide Football Club, and I think it would be unreasonable if the fan base pushed him out of the door like they have, like the board has done with Ken Hinckley. So, yep, fast that one. Any opinion from you?
I actually went with fair on this one, if I was being completely honest. I think we need a bit of a change of scene for Port Adelaide after watching them at the showdown. I don't know, Ben. I obviously agree with you. He's done great things for the club and he's a massive advocate for the club as well. He's overseen them some significant growth from this team. But look, he's a public figure. He makes a lot of bold statements about the club. And I think at a time where they are under a bit of turmoil, I just think a bit of a change is needed.
Yeah, your point's well made, but at the same time, I look at some of the most successful AFL clubs and they've succeeded up and down in waves, but they've always had a great leader at the top. Collingwood with Eddie Maguire and Essendon with Kevin Sheedy are probably the two that stand out to me the most. And they've just moved the chess pieces in and around them, but remained as the key figurehead at the top. And I really feel like David Koch belongs in that echelon as well. Hasn't won a premiership, of course, but Port Adelaide has been very, very successful. What, won 59% of their games under Ken Hinckley? I mean, that's a pretty good record, I reckon. Hey, can I see us out with some power rankings?
Yep, let's see it.
So for those who are new to the show with Hookie and Soph, this is my weekly power rankings. If you're a state league or a national league team out of South Australia, then you're eligible to be in the power rankings. This is my best 10, and it's basically based on how well you're going right now and how you've on top of how you've performed throughout the year. I'll quickly touch on the Seacliff men in men's Premier League hockey. They had a 3-2 win over Forestville, so Seacliff back in the mix, but they're not in. Burnside, your old club in the men, 11-1 winners over Adelaide University on the weekend, Soph. So that would have been a good little night's celebration at the club, so they're back in contention as well. But both of those two are out. At 10, Central District Basketball Club. They took a huge tumble over the... They lost two games in 3 weeks, but they've won their qualifying final, so they're back in. Big win over Woodville. At number 9, West Adelaide Women's Soccer Club. Huge winners. 6-1 over Flinders United. They're 11 points clear of the Adelaide Comets. So that's in the Apex Women's National Premier League. Number 8, they were 9th last week. This is the Adelaide Hockey Club, the women. They defeated Northeast 3-0. Got a couple of good mates of mine at the Northeast women's team. The Zulouettes, as they used to be called. Now, what are they? The Warriors, I think. Seacliff hot on their heels. So that's going to be a really interesting finish to the women's competition. Coming from 8th to 7th, Old Collegians in South Australian rugby. They defeated Souths 74-3. They're 11-0 and they're plus 470 points on aggregate. So that is quite incredible. Brighton Lacrosse Club, the women, they go from 7th to 6th. They gave the number 2 team in the competition an 8-goal thumping on the weekend. So they continue to thrive. The team in 5th now is Metro Stars. They were 6th last week. So now we go to the Men's National Premier League Soccer. They beat Modbury Jets 3-1. They're 10 points clear of 2nd. Contacts Netball Club have gone from 5th to 4th. They beat Garville by 2 in the 2nd semi-final. They're off to the grand final. Matrix and Garville will play in the preliminary final this weekend, but Contacts into the grand final. Forestville are 3rd, so this is the NBL 1 Central men's basketball team. They were top team, had the weekend off. They're going to play Central District this weekend, and I cannot wait for that game. I've made a big change at the top. Sturt are 2nd. They had a week off last weekend. It was only the Crows and Port Adelaide that played at SANFL level, but they will continue on their merry way again. But I cannot go past putting the Crows at the top. Having smashed their great rival Port Adelaide by 98 points, geez, I was gunning for 100 points, so I forgot to be honest. They were just so ruthless. So they go to number 1 on Hookie's Power Rankings to see out the week. Any arguments there, Soph?
No, no arguments there. I think they're perfect, Ben. I like Crows at the top. It's a good change.
You're comfortable with your Burnside team not quite getting back in just yet? Still one minor round to go in the Premier League hockey?
No, I'm happy for them to just be sticking out of it, but I'd like to see where they fall next week, Ben.
Wallace, where are you at over there, my man?
Hooky, I reckon that's a terrific episode. And now I'd just like to, I know that you're heading off on a plane shortly to head up to Queensland to do your marathon. Yes. We've been talking about it for a long time. I think you've done a lot of Ks. What are your expectations? What's the weather going to be like and how are you feeling?
I'll be honest with you guys, I've lost all confidence. I am just planning on finishing and that is it. I've got no sense of, look, honestly, I was hoping about 3 months ago that I was going to run inside, say, 3 hours 40. Now, if I run inside 4:10, I'll be quite satisfied. I'm comfortable with the weather, probably windier than I'd like, but they're talking about a forecast top of 23. I'll take too warm over too cold any day of the week. I'm as well prepared as I possibly can be. We talked about the setback I had with a bit of injury maybe 2 months ago. I'm as over that as well as I can be. I've recovered really well this week. I've had a massage on Monday, light run on Tuesday, light run this morning. I'm as ready to go as I ever be. And we're going to have an almighty debrief next week. I've got to say, massive thank you to Josh Willoughby at Run DNA, who hooked me up with all of the shoes that I need, all of the gels that I'm going to be taking over to complete the run, leaving tomorrow morning. I've learnt a lot about how to prepare for these sorts of things. I've got advice on making sure I eat as much white bread as I possibly can on Saturday afternoon ahead of the race on Sunday. I've been hydrating all week, so... And I've got off the booze as well, you blokes and girls. You'll be stunned by that. So, yes, look, I feel as prepared as I can be, but I'm not going to set the bar too high. I just hope that I can get through 42 Ks and it'll be uncomfortable. But I just hope I can enjoy the pain rather than just be in complete agony.
So what you were saying, Ben, is you wanted originally to go 340. You're now saying 410. I reckon that you're going to pump it under 4. What do you reckon, Soph?
Yeah, I reckon he's pumping it under 4. I reckon he's just creating a bit of a cushion here, Wallace, actually, so that we can pump his tyres when he comes back next week.
Well, maybe you and I can have a little side bet and work out exactly where he's sitting and we can share it next week.
Yep, I like the sounds of that.
To be honest, that is right. I am doing a little bit of that. But at the same time, the long runs that I've done in the lead up, I mean, I have really struggled through them. So, yeah, I can't say that I'm getting on the plane tomorrow morning feeling absolutely bold with confidence here, because it's a brutal thing running for 4 hours straight. Mm-hmm. So my fingers are crossed.
I just think that you'll be swept up in the whole running with the thousands of people, and I reckon the moment will get on top of you and you won't feel the pain.
I'm reminded of the great line from the late, great Phil Walsh, who coached Adelaide for just that short period of time in 2015. He said, "You don't rise to the occasion, you sink to your level of training." So I've just got to rely on the fact that I have trained reasonably well. I've done basically everything the program has asked of me. I just hope it all counts on the day.
Well, wish you all the best, mate.
Thanks, Wallace. Thanks, Soph. Love to chat today and look forward to catching up next week.
Terrific.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to hearing about the marathon next week, Hookie.
Likewise. Have a good run.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I'd encourage you to take a listen to Beyond the Club. It's a project I've been working on with Flinders University. Now, I co-host it with Professor Sam Elliott, and we break down all the latest research on how to maximise the experience of junior and club athletes. There's a range of resources, special guests, and cutting-edge info on how you can make your club a safer, happier place for your kids and their club mates. Beyond the Club, wherever you get your podcasts.